Right, hello and welcome to the 19th Manx Footy pod of the season. Today, myself and Dave.
Hello.
Are joined by old boys duo Ian Ramsey and Josh Thomas to look ahead to Saturday's FA Cup tie with St Mary's and the Black Million Outfit season as a whole. So without further ado, let's go on with it. Welcome, chaps, to Podcast Towers. Thanks for coming in. Before we go any further, I suppose me and you, Dave, should offer up a bit of an apology for lack of podcasts for the last couple of weeks.
I know, it's nice to know we've been missed, though.
Yes, I've had at least one text.
Yeah.
And that's from my mum.
Yeah.
She was wondering what
keen follower.
She is a keen follower. She knows more about Manx football now than she ever has done, I have to say. And, of course, the dietary takeaway requirements of most of Manx football's finest.
That's the most important information.
I'd like to say we'd be missing because we've been poached by a podcast offering us a Champions League football, but it wasn't quite that glamorous, was it, Dave?
No. All the software change in the papers.
Yeah.
Nothing quite glamorous.
And actually having to do a bit of proper work for once.
I know.
Right. Enough of the dull stuff. I know we're here to discuss old boys, but it'd be a bit remiss of us not to talk about St George's briefly. After they clinched a seventh Premier League crown, I'm going to go, in a row on Saturday. Dave, you were there. A remarkable achievement, really, wasn't it?
It was, absolutely. And you could see the joy on their faces at the final whistle. Obviously, Bassey Sr., he's made it his mission in life to knock Peel off their perch, as you could say. But, yeah, I mean, all of the players, absolutely delighted. And you could see that they put so much hard work into it.
And if we had done a podcast last week, I don't think we would have predicted 7-0.
No, I wasn't there for the return match, but when Corinthians beat Geordies, but this time Geordies were just first to everything. They just played them off the park at times. A bit of a lucky goal to start it off, deflected goal from Callum, but after that it was just all one way.
And boys, obviously you've come up against them this season. Josh, remarkable, isn't it, really? Just no one seems to be able to get near them.
Yeah, I think that is the case at the moment. I think all kudos to them. They, over the last 10 years, I think they've worked harder and with greater intensity than every other club on the island. I think the only time is right in the last 10 years that they've dropped the title was it to Russian?
Yeah.
Russian. And I think that Russian, the year Russian actually won the title, I think it was the first time that they've probably had a Peel last year, maybe a little bit as well. But where they've had a team, where they've had a competitor that's actually trained together, they've had 15, 16 lads down training twice a week, two or three times a week. And I think, obviously, that's the only time that they've had that. So, yeah.
What do you think? They're just we call them juggernauts, don't we, on the sports desk. They're just unbelievable, aren't they, really?
Yeah, they've been a remarkable team over the last, like Josh said, 10 or so years. I think as a collective, they just show the commitment you need if you do want to win things consistently.
Well, Dave, you've had lots of reaction for it in the Examiner and in the Indy. 17 years in the making?
It was, yeah. That's what Bassey Senior alluded to. And, you know, as Josh was saying just before we came on air that there was a few of those players might slow down in the next couple of years, but they're putting the hard work in, the attitude's there. It doesn't sound like Bassey Senior's going anywhere anytime soon, so the revolution may carry on.
Well, I think when we had the Callum and the Wes in before Christmas, I think they said that they'd have to take Chris off out of that role and put him in straight into a care home, didn't they? So I don't think he, as you say, going to go anywhere soon. Boys, I suppose we'll question it. You guys are in the sort of mix of that top six clubs. Does their constant success sort of, is it spur you on, or is it demoralising? Do you think, oh, Georgie's are going to win this every year?
Well, yeah, to be fair, I think I've spent most of my adult football career in the shadows, so I'm not in a good position to answer that. I mean, I think on one side they set the benchmark, which is good. It shows where everyone needs to be if you do want to be successful. But on the flip side, yeah, it can be quite demoralising, because over the years, we've had some quite good teams ourselves, and we've come close, but they've always just been that one step ahead. Yes, it's been difficult.
But even this season, again, I refer back to when we had the boys in, they were shocked how far they were ahead this year. They've had their injury problems. Callum and Kieran have both had spells out. They've had to bed in these new squad players and stuff like that. So, I think it's probably... It's quite shocking how easily they have won it, really, in a way.
I think it does all boil down to if you've got 15, 16 lads all down training hard twice, two or three times a week, which they do have.
Yeah.
Bringing players in, if they've got a couple of players missing, you might look and go, them players, they're not of the same ilk of Callum, or who did you who else did you say?
Pekka was out.
Pekka was out. Yeah, Pekka's had injuries as well this season. But the play, you bring Firu in.
Yeah,
he's still one of the top six centre forwards over here. So you're bringing players like that in who are also down training. So I think they're able to cope with those injuries just through the level of commitment that they have throughout the squad. And they've also brought in, like, you look at this season as well. I've been down to watch them a few games. They brought in, was it plus 10 young players into their combi at the start of the season. Combi players for now, but the majority of them are in that Islander 18s team, and will push on into their first team soon. So for them, so when they get injuries, it's not even a downer for them, really. It's like, well, it gives a couple of the younger lads who you know, have been training, it gives them a chance to go and play in the best team on the island. So it's only good for them.
Do you think for other teams, it's almost a case of them losing before they even started? You know, they're fearing that Geordies are just going to run away with it again.
I think they've certainly got, I mean, they've got that confidence factor which has been built up over the years. I do think as well, this year in particular has been a kind of lack of competition, really, from the kind of chasing teams, including ourselves. Our team's weaker. I think their closest chance has probably been St Mary's, but for me, that team's never strong enough to win that league.
Do you think it also is a case of, I think teams around that mix are taking points off each other. You know, Corinthians have had a phenomenal season, and again, you know, they've finally reached that potential that they've been talked about for a few years, but they've dropped points elsewhere. Russian are capable of taking points as well as dropping yourselves, St Mary's, Peel, they're all in that mix.
You're never going to do it, but you take Geordies out of that league now and then pretend they weren't there. The six teams below that there are all capable of beating each other.
Yeah.
They'd all probably, if they thought they had a chance of winning the league, pick up another 10-15%.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be the case. You should just be at that level. You should be trying to be at that level all the time. But knowing that they're not capable of winning the league, you know, people drop off and people start moving around clubs, and the only ones that seem a constant are St George's throughout, and that is throughout the last 10 years. They're the only ones that seem a constant. So I think with Corinthians this year as well, like, obviously they had a bit of a shit start to the year. But that could have went either of two ways. Nobody would have said anything if they just fell away this year. But they've great kudos to them. They've turned everything around on its head. They're second in the league at the moment.
Third, I think. Second, they've got third, a couple of games in hand.
But their season has been, in my eyes, just as remarkable as what St George's has been. Like, they've pulled together, and they as well, like, I don't even think they've met their potential. They've got a good group of young lads now. Well, saying not even young, they've got a good group of good age lads, so like 24 to 25, or between, say, 22 and 25. They've got the potential then to kick on. When I was saying today before, the next 5 years, it could open up a little bit.
Yeah.
And they are in a great position to not take over, but to make sure that they're in the mix for the next five years if they all stay together. And I've not been down to training, and I don't know what it's like, but I'm sure that they've got a strong group of lads down there that are down training twice a week as well. They're all of a similar age.
Yeah.
All friends, got good camaraderie down there. I think they're set quite nicely, to be honest.
Well, when they came in, they said everything you've just said, really. That bond is what makes them train twice a week. You know, if one of you guys doesn't turn up on a Thursday or a Tuesday, they're on each other's back saying, "Why aren't you at training?" And I think you've already hit the nail on the head, really. That's what Geordies already seems to have ingrained. You know, that they know if they don't train twice a week, they're not going to play that Saturday or whatever, you know. And I think Corinthians have picked some of that up, but through a slightly different route, just through the team spirit thing.
Yeah, they'll stand them in good stead for the long run.
Yeah. And I think you're spot on there, Josh. I think they're going to be well placed to challenge for the next few seasons. But I suppose, do we think Geordies are just going to keep knocking these out of the park until, I don't know, until the boys are fed up with it?
It's one of the things that stood out when we'll see it in the exam next week, but Bass Junior said one of the first things that Senior did, he spent 10 minutes being happy after the final whistle of the day, and already he was starting talking about making it 8 in a row straight away, not resting on their laurels at all. They've never done that, have they? So.
No. I mean, we're only in February, aren't we?
Yeah.
But I was going to ask you this a bit later on, but who else has impressed you this season? You mentioned Corinthians, Ian. Is there anyone else you've played this season and thought, oh, they played really well?
Well, there was a lot of hype about St Mary's at the start of the year, but again, like I mentioned, I think them as challenges, I think that they're always going to have the dips because they've got quite a lot of volatile players in their squad. But aside from that, yeah, I just kind of echo Josh's views on Corinthians. But I think because of the age of the players, they can really push on. And for me, it'd be nice to see them next year kind of really kind of start fulfilling a lot of that potential.
Yeah. And what about, say, Laxey, Rushen seem to fall. And Camber, you guys are a bit in it at the moment. The inconsistency that they can't get that run of games and results.
I think we obviously had a good stint between where probably early October and mid-November where we were able to play 6 weeks on the bounce. We got some good results against Peel, Rushen, St. John's even.
Yeah.
St. John's, I think St. John's was a catalyst that kicked it all off, wasn't it? The Friday night game, I think it was. But it's just getting that run of games sometimes. And obviously when you get into that run of games and you know you're going to be playing the week after, you're more inclined to get people down training twice a week.
Yeah.
When it's like maybe the game's on, maybe it's not, well, maybe the combi will be on, maybe that.
Yeah.
It kind of just gets in a little bit of a mess. And I think that even crystallizes over Christmas when there's definitely no games for a couple of weeks. To get people back training for the first couple of weeks of January is a nightmare, isn't it, Rams?
Yeah.
It is a killer. It's just trying to get people back into the swing of things. And by that time, you've already been hit with a game. We were hit with...
You had Royal in the Cup,
didn't
you?
Yeah.
And that could have been a... Well, you went to extra time,
didn't you?
But penalties, wasn't it?
Penalties,
I think when we were writing the review, I think you'd had 6 weeks off at that point because of postponements. And obviously, there was about a month... Christmas, it is a big factor, isn't it?
Yeah, it is hard. I mean, even from that though, even from our run, I would say we massively miss Hooper because from the end of that, he's not played, has he?
No,
and he's especially like that's compounded by what happened in pre-season when we lost Hudgie, we lost Clarkey, we lost Callum to go to Australia. Mm-hmm. Then we even lost lads that were on the periphery like James Murphy. Jay Corran, Swanee, I'm sure there's more as well, just not to miss anybody out, but that's obviously then compounded.
Yeah.
So
do you think you should be higher up the league than you are, or do you think it's that tight that within a couple of weeks you could be a bit
like I think we've, like, I don't keep on, like, properly on top of the table, but I think are we a couple of games behind everybody?
Yeah, you played a couple of games.
Yeah, we get. I think we sat somewhere daft, like, eighth or ninth.
Yeah.
Win two games and you go back to. Yeah.
I think key for us is if we can get a run of the same team would be a start.
Yeah.
I think our manager quoted something like we've used 30, 40 players or something this year.
That's pretty impressive, even a Max football. Yeah,
that's mad when you can only get five down to the step on a Tuesday and use 40 players.
It's amazing, 40 players. So are you pinning your hopes now on a cup run? We're going to talk about that.
I think that's been for the, like, even at Old Boys last year, when I was at St. Mary's the 2 years before, people get to January and it's like they always pin their hopes on a cup because the league, Geordies are that consistent and they get to Christmas and it's not won, but for you to win, they've got to lose three and you've got to win all them three.
Yeah.
So and it gets to that sort of stage and it's like right now, focus on the cup and then you try and get everyone back training 6 weeks of hard graft from the turn of the year. And try and get a decent cup run. So that's what our hope's been on, getting into a final. And I think you've seen it with Old Boys. I didn't play for Old Boys. Was it 3 years ago? Three or 4 years ago down the ball when they beat Geordies 3-1. Anything can happen when you get onto the ball.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, Geordies are winning them games. But anything can happen on a day. Especially with like a lot of clubs have got a solid 11 when you look at it. It's getting them players and then throughout the season when managers know they're not going to win the league, it's like, okay, my best 11 is this, but only four of them were training, so I'll just play your five lads that were training, and you're not going to get your best 11 every week. When it gets to cup runs and trying to get to finals, and you play your best 11 on that Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whenever it's going to be, anyone's got a chance.
You seem to raise your game for the so-called bigger matches. You've already mentioned Rushen and Peel. I think you hammered Rushen 5-1.
Yeah.
Got the better of Peel 1-0. I mean... But you just tend to struggle against the lower sides. Why do you think that is?
I think it's mentality. And, you know, say all the same old cliches before the game. You need to treat this like it's a big game.
But
people just tend to switch off and then they kind of just try and get an easy ride throughout the game. So that's why I think
I think you look at Old Boys as well over the last 5 years. They turn up, the teams that we've struggled against the last 3-4 weeks, Old Boys of... the last few years would turn up and beat them teams 4-5-0 in my eyes anyway.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
like this year, me and Dave had a chat about it before, it's a massive change to where we were at last year. Yeah. Even though we didn't, I think we underachieved last year with the 11 we had and then the squad as a whole that we had, our starting 11 and then the squad after that. I think we underachieved last year and it does all boil down to training. But, yeah, I don't know, I just think...
Well, your combi have always been strong. You know, they're going to possibly win the title again this year. You know, you think that would help? We've had countless people in this year and they've always said... The thing that maybe spurred them on this year, they've had an 11 behind them, right? I want to play first team. Or is it a case that almost that you've got a separate first and combi?
It's difficult because, like, our combi at the moment, they're probably close to nailed on to win that combi league. Yeah. Again, I haven't looked at the table, but
I think they're about 4 points clear. Yeah, Russia at the moment, but Russia
this is the thing you've got now, the lads that could come and play in the first team and have a proper battle every week. Because that's what it is at the moment, isn't it? We're battling every week to win games. It's not like 3 or 4 years ago with old boys where you'd turn up and beat teams 4-5-0. It is a battle every week. We're not... You turn up at Ramsey and from Saturday, I expected that to be a difficult game. They've got some good players. And it is a case of, we could just go and play in the combi. Close to near enough, definitely win the league. Yeah. And then have a good run in the Junior Cup, which we should be favourites for as well.
Yeah.
Why go and play in the first team if the first team...
Yeah. I see what you mean, because if they play too many, they won't be qualified for the
junior. Yeah, of course.
But I suppose it's a personality thing again. You were talking about the mentality about switching off, but it's where how much you want to drive yourself as a footballer, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think a lot of those lads now, I mean, a lot of them are of the same age as me, and they've got kids, families, you know, a lot of other stuff going on, so they can perhaps only train once a week. And so, you know, it's not there, perhaps, not always there for them. They can't show the commitment, but as we've seen, you do need to have that commitment to be able to train twice a week if you are looking to play in the first team.
Let's talk about Saturday. Of course, now Ramsey will be taking that as a bit of a bonus point, but as you say, you were they're very much a Jekyll and Hyde side. I actually get spanked by Douglas Athletic a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yeah, I seen that in the paper, but then I turned up on Saturday and I seen their team. They've got Chris Duggan up front.
Yeah.
With Chris Halsall.
Yeah.
Two very good players in my eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Then if you work backwards, you've got go all the way back. You've got Qualtro, who's not bad. You've got the other centre half. Is it Vallegra?
Oh yeah. But Michael.
Brilliant. I think he's a brilliant player. And Jamie Corlett played right back. All good young players. They're not bad. Jordy Kelly played centre holding midfield. Another big lad who I don't know his name played centre midfield. Done really well as well. They've got a good team. Again, that probably just boils down to getting all them lads down training, because
I don't think
what's the difference between them and someone like St John's? I think St John's have probably got quite a good solid core of lads that are going training as well. What's the difference between Ramsey and someone like St John's?
Yeah.
To me, quality-wise, Ramsey are just as good as some of the teams that are in the top six at the moment.
St John's have always seemed to have a unit. We talk about this. I mean, they just work well as a unit. No real, like, Rhys Oates has probably come out of their start. They've always struggled for goal scorers since Steve Glover left. And they still seem to always be there or thereabouts in the middle of the table.
When you play them down there, it's one of the games that, depending on the type of player you are, you don't look forward to that. Ramsey loves it. But, like, it's so... You don't get any time on the ball. It's always a scrap. They always try the Friday night thing. We want to play the Friday night. And, you know, some people go, oh, yeah, play under the floodlights. I'm like, just playing straight into their hands. That's exactly what they want. Down there on a Friday night, everyone's tired after work.
Yeah.
You get down there, and they've played that game 5 times that Friday night game. They're used to playing it. No, they're a difficult team to play against if you go and play them down there.
So we talked about some of the other players, obviously Combi and that, but one of the players that caught the eye early in the season was Adam Adebayi. I think he played well against Peel and teams like that. But who else has impressed you so far?
As in who we got or played against? Well, Cam Thwaites has just started playing in the first team as well. He's one of the ones. We changed our training dates recently. So we were doing Wednesday, Thursday, and we've gone to Tuesday, Thursday now. And he was never able to make the Wednesday. So he was struggling to get in the first team. Tuesday nights now, down there running every Tuesday, turns up training on Thursday, does well. And he's worked himself into the first team. So to me, attitude-wise, being brilliant, he's young, so he's always going to... There's things, you know, all players can work on certain things, but he'll just... If he keeps playing that first team, he'll just keep learning. He'll start doing the right things more often than not, being a bit more confident, driving at the right times, rolling the ball off at the right times. He's been good. I think him and Cam are very similar. They're both wingers, and wingers are always quite like, they're always hit and miss. Mm. It's whether you can get them on the ball a lot of the times as well. But if they just keep playing in that team, they're gonna learn a lot.
About you, Ian, who stood out for you?
I mean, I think, like you mentioned, Adam had a good start to the year. I think over Christmas, he lost his way a bit. He may be having a bit too much to drink.
Happens to us all.
But he's a great young talent. He's a strong lad. And as Josh mentioned, Cam's had a good kind of run of games now. He's getting a bit more confident. You can see in the way he's playing. And I think, to be fair as well, Adam Hudson's come into the team this year and done a good job. Yeah. So it's probably worth mentioning as well.
Yeah, no, I think we've got quite a few lads that joined in the summer. So you got like Matty Kent Lloyd, good player. I've watched him when he was at Laxey, and he's played a couple of games for us in pre-season, training with us a bit. Very, very good player. Just obviously not here week in, week out. You can't keep tabs on him, but he's a very good player. You got Hizzy, who was also here at the start of the season. He played, you know, he come on in that rushing game.
He
scored. He got a couple of chances in that rushing game. He's done well at times for us at the start of the season. And one that is actually here all the time and plays in the combi, who I think is brilliant, is Danny Corran, Corran's little brother.
Yeah.
Very, very good player. Yeah. Don't know whether he likes the running on the Tuesday, because he's never, ever there. Just loves playing football. He's, my eyes, take Gary out of the equation, but he's the best dribbler in our club by a mile.
Yeah.
When he drives out here and trains, you're not taking the ball off him. But it'd be nice to see, because he's just turned 18, so you've probably not even seen or heard much of him.
Yeah.
But if he could get himself down training on Tuesday, he's got just as much talent as any young lad in that club.
So. I think I saw on Twitter a few weeks ago, probably before Christmas, he played Onken Combi in a friendly, and him and his dad played, didn't they?
Yeah.
He used to play five side with Sean, and he was a hell of a competitor, so we stopped putting it in on the 11 side, fair play. Before we get onto the famed Twitter questions, we've got a Joe Andrews special lined up for Josh. You've been in great form, Josh, in this new central midfield. Every time I talk to you, I'm blown away by your development into this central midfield powerhouse.
Yeah.
Do we think Gotland could be calling in Sweden?
I don't think so. I've not been, to be honest, since that's turned over to Hurley and Rick, they've got their own ideas. I've been nowhere near it. So.
Right.
No, I don't think so. I think that squad was near enough cut and dry, I thought, a couple of months ago.
Right, okay.
So they've not. I don't know what the turnout's been like down training, but I've heard it's not been brilliant. It's not been like when Burnsy had it, and when Burnsy, Ben, Jonesy and Dicko, even towards the end, when they had it running into, was it when they got in, they didn't do very well when they went to, was it Germany?
They played Slovakia.
Yeah. But the whole build up into that, and when they won the County Cup, I was down training. There was, along with another, must have had 20 lads down training.
Yeah.
So we probably had, that's discluding keepers, but we had near enough 24 players down training, week in, week out, 11-a-side games, really competitive. In fact, the games on a Wednesday down when those guys had it were more competitive than the games you were playing in on a Saturday.
Wow.
So I think that's obviously missing at the moment. Yeah. But I'm nowhere near it at the moment, so... I think one thing they do miss, and I was thinking about this the other day, is that when those guys had it, they had a development squad.
Yeah.
Now, if I look around and look around at some of the players, and I mentioned a couple of them, Duggan at Ramsey, and he's only fresh because we played him at the weekend, and I think he's a very good player. He's nowhere, at the moment, he's just caught in like limbo. So he's good enough to get in an Ireland squad of 25 players, whatever. But when they've only got like a little mixture down training, it's hard for them to get in. So why is there not like a development squad or an under-23s or something of that ilk, where you've got players like him down there, where you've got players that, even some of the lads that are at Corinthians who are doing really well, who are nowhere near the Ireland setup, but why isn't there like an intermediary step between that and the full Ireland squad like they had when Burnsy had it?
I think just to follow on that point as well, then if you do have some kind of development squad, then you're only going to improve the standard of those guys. So in terms of bridging that gap between St George's and the rest, you're only going to, you know, narrow that down.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah, I remember when Burnsy took over the job, and one of the first times I spoke to him, and he said, "Oh, I want to do this," and then I was like, "Oh," because remember, you two are probably too young, but it used to be that England had a B team, and there was and they played friendlies and stuff. And I was like, "Oh, that's really interesting." He's like, "Yeah," and he said exactly what you've just said. It bridges the gap. It means I can look at more players. It means that I've got a ready-made 11 to take on my the first team, so to speak. And I say, yeah, no, I think it would be a good time. But what I was going to say, though, does that then take people away from their clubs? You know, they, because you may be training 3 or 4 times a week then, aren't you?
Yeah.
Were you like, oh, I'll sack off my Thursday session with X, Y, Z?
No, if training fell nice to me, because when I was at St Mary's, part when I was at Laxey, well, I had bad injuries, but when I was at St Mary's for the 2 years, I was in the squad then. Only it fell nice for me because we were training Tuesday, Thursday, and the Ireland session was on a Wednesday. But if you've got lads going down and getting a good quality session on a Wednesday, and they're training twice a week, whether that be with the Ireland team or your team, go and get the 2 sessions. Because like I said, at the moment, I was speaking to Alex this morning, Harrison, they're struggling to get players down training. Oh, we're obviously playing them this weekend, but they're struggling to get players down training. The 6 players that are going training, or the 7 players that are going training, and having to play 3v4.
Yeah.
Why not send? Why couldn't they go to an Ireland session? Because it's not always the better players, but it's always the ones that want to win that are the ones that are at training.
Yeah, yeah.
More than likely, half the time, the ones that are the better players, they're the ones that are going to be in the Ireland setup.
Yeah.
Let them go and crack on with the Ireland setup. So.
Fair enough.
But you can look at, I've got to throw it in because to me he's the best left back over here by an absolute country mile. Noxie is nowhere near it. My name shouldn't be on there. It should be Bill Knox. Why? Yeah. Should he deserve? He in my eyes, when Dicko and Bassi took him to, they go all over the show. The report I heard, he was one of their best players, so he's the one that I would say a fullback. How many good fullbacks are over here?
There's no one better than him on the island.
Do you think Phil? Maybe I've just completely misread that, but Phil has to slot into a couple of positions as well. Do you think that hampers him? He's not seen as a specialist left back, or
no? He plays left back.
Yeah, he's absolutely left back.
And he's played centre half for us a couple of times, but more than comfortably as well.
Yeah,
better than a lot of the centre halves that play over here. So. And that's no disrespect to anybody. I just mean, like, for me, and when we were talking then about the few players turning up to the sessions, he will go down every Tuesday and do that running. He'll be there every Thursday. So if he was to miss and our nights were to fall and he was to go and train with the Ireland squad, everyone would go, well, he more than deserves it.
Yeah.
Go and train with the Ireland squad. Yeah. So.
Petition then,
That's it. We'll get an online petition going, get Noxie in the Ireland squad. We'll get a hashtag off the back of this.
Yeah.
Twitter questions, a bit of a controversial one from Johnny Hogg. Is Darren Hudson rejoining? A bit of the let's start rolling the what do they call it?
The transfer rumour
mill early.
Do we open up here to our sessions?
all I can say is I hope he does.
Yeah.
I think the season before he left was probably the best season he's ever had. So, you know,
he scored 25, 26 goals.
No, last year, I thought it was definitely plus 30. I don't know whether that was in the league or both, all the cups and stuff. But he was plus 30 goals last year. And like I said, and Callum was probably plus, he didn't play a great deal last year, Callum, to be fair, injuries. But he was plus 15, plus 20 maybe. Lost 50 goals.
I
as well. I hope he comes back. He's a great character. He knows himself. He can be hard work sometimes. And he does. But to have him around, like he's not just a player for us. He's one of our friends. For me, I'd welcome him back with open arms.
Season away would have done him good. Do you think
I hope so. Like if you see him in training now, and I know obviously we're nowhere near finished this season yet, but you see him in training now, and he's more than happy to do anything. That could change 3 months into next season, and he might just quit football again. But for me, to have him for that 3 months that he does play. Even if he's whinging, if he's scoring 15 goals in that period,
Joe Andrews, the infamous Joe Andrews, Brad and Skipper, Twitter question extraordinaire man has asked this. Josh, Vinnie Dale, a character of Manx football, just asks, would you rather be Vinnie Dale or Mini Vinnie Dale?
They're the same person, aren't they?
Good answer. making it slightly more serious for once, we were, I don't know if you guys saw, Marco van Basten has been chatting away this week, and he wants to introduce sin bins to football, like they do in rugby. You get 10 minutes off on the sidelines. I believe Meps was on the radio.
Yeah, we talked about this last weekend, yeah.
He said it could be rolled out within Manx football within months rather than years. So
good testing ground.
Yeah. So, what do you guys think, Ian? Is he
serious about that? By the way, he really wants to roll that.
I don't know if he's for or against it. I must admit, I didn't hear the thing, but it could. The English FA are seriously looking at it, and it would be rolled out in grassroots football first. So as we fall under that umbrella, it would be.
Yeah. I think personally, I would struggle with it. I don't like to run any more than I have to. Given that I've been in the sim bin quite frequently, I'm not for that at all. So.
Josh,
I don't see how it works, to be honest. But
well, it's funny because it's been in. I when I used to play rugby, that you could get. I was sim bin once. I still protest my innocence to this day. But you had to go and run and stand under the opposition post, couldn't even sit on the sidelines. You couldn't get a breather.
I've probably had, like, this year's not been as bad as last year, but I get booked for nothing sometimes.
tackles are up.
His wing is tackled.
That doesn't help when you're playing inside. No, I just think you get booked for so many silly things. And obviously sometimes warranted, but how would you control it when sometimes you turn up and you got one ref? It could drag a game out, especially in grassroots football. It could drag a game out from being 90 minutes to an hour and 20, just arguing with people to go off for 5-10 minutes, however long it be. And then within that time, you've got to send someone else off.
Right.
And then someone else off for a yellow card. It's like, I just don't know how you control it. So you go from playing in light and then all of a sudden it'd be dark and you still haven't finished the game. You're still arguing about who should be in the sim bin and who shouldn't. It's either a yellow card or a red card, and it's just
Someone at Belfast last week was making the point, though, what would the ref do if you obviously simbin someone and it reduces the players down to, you know, they'd have to forfeit the game if there's fewer than seven players. What would you do in that instance?
I think you would have dished out a few reds and down to seven, wouldn't you? But it's funny, Van Basten, I don't know if it's because he's Dutch and it's what they've called it, the orange card, it will become. So they've said it's for persistent fouling and for tackles that don't warrant a straight red. So I think there's a lot of a grey area there myself.
I think it just seems to, it's going to complicate the game, and I don't think that's necessary. I don't think anyone's saying we need, you know, an additional card or sim bin. Yeah. So I don't think it's a good idea.
I think as well, if over here there's always like a whinge of the shortage of referees, which is why we're talking about the one referee trying to control the sim bin. How are you meant to encourage young referees to come in if they're coming straight into that when they watch a game on a Saturday and they see experienced refs like struggling to cope with it? You're not encouraging.
And another thing he suggested was that only captains can talk to the referee. That's, again, I think something's borrowed from rugby, because I'm pretty sure that's...
They tried to implement it a while ago, didn't they, in football, but they never seemed to follow.
As captain, Josh, are you captain? Yeah. You'd be the only designated, you'd have to go and talk to Kinger about his late challenge.
Because you try talking to him. Kinger is never wrong.
So what do you think about that? Is that one potentially that could be more feasible?
Yeah, I think you should... I think that's a good idea. But I thought that was the case anyway. Not the referees can only speak to the captain, or captains are the only ones that can speak to the referees. But it should be driven through a captain, in my eyes.
Yeah.
I think if you've got someone running around trolling people up in the air, to go and have a word with him, and if he does it again, it's got to go through the captain. I think it's got to be for the captain to say. Because it doesn't matter to the referee whether that player is going to let a team down or not. It matters to the other players. I think it should be a player thing. Yeah, I think it should be a captain thing. It should drive through that.
So what else would you do? What do you think should be done to improve Manx football?
Three leagues has been kicked around again.
Long
recently.
Time, yeah.
What do you think?
I don't know how do you take away the it's not a monopoly, that is. Well, it kind of is. with St. George's. They are the best team. They train harder than everybody else. If you split it into three leagues, Geordies are still going to dominate that top league.
But I think they would say that the other two divisions would be more competitive. And at the bottom of that top league, you're going to have a hell of a dogfight, aren't you, trying to avoid getting relegated.
I guess as well, then, you know, those teams, those six or seven teams that are in the same positions each year are playing each other. So, you know, no disrespect to some of the lower teams.
Yeah.
The standard of games each week is going to be higher.
There is a couple of ways to look at it. I think it's a decision that... I think you have to take into account everyone's opinions from all clubs, and like the clubs, if it was an option and it was on the table, it would have to be driven by the clubs. It couldn't be just driven by one person at the FA goes, I think that's a good idea, because we all know football's a game of opinions, and you're going to get that in, and it's not going to be conclusive whether to go to three leagues or stay with two, because it's going to be split, in my opinion. I mean, weighted one way, hopefully, so you get a proper decision. But
yeah,
you can't drive it off one person's decision.
The FA Council's vote, isn't it? Every club is meant to have a viewpoint, and you potentially something could go to the vote there. I'm for it. I think we'd see more competitive games. The amount of rubbish games.
I do agree. You turn up and it's like,
You know what you're saying about raising your games. I think your mentality'd have to be switched on.
Yeah, six games. You play the tops, or you have a league of six. Is that what we're saying? The league of six or seven? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think even from below Geordie's at the moment, in that league, every game's near enough competitive. Apart from, I know. Is it Ayr that are at the moment? Yeah. Who else are they with?
Union Mills are second bottom at the moment. Ramsey are third bottom. And then...
Ramsey up, I think they're all competitive games. Yeah. It sounds daft, but you're going to get the odd one off. Did you see Douglas Athletic beating Ramsey? What was it?
5-1, I was there.
5-1. Yeah. But did you see that happening before the game?
No, at all. 5-0 at half-time.
Yeah, they're still competitive games. I get the three leagues thing, and I think... Again, like I said, if it's on the table, just close the work out between them.
With that, though, as well, you've got to be mindful of the fact that, you know, there seems to be less and less players registering each year. Yeah. So, you know...
We've had two clubs withdraw their combis this year.
Exactly, yeah. So maybe that's an underlying issue that should be addressed before looking at how we restructure the
league. Yeah.
How do you get these young lads who are obviously dropping off at some point, how do you get them to keep playing, interested?
And what do they want out of their football? Do they want just to kick about and after that? Do they want to press themselves and try and get it as far as they can in the game?
I think what you've got is, across that league at the moment, you've probably got five or six players in the top six clubs that we take Corinthians out because we reckon they've got quite a good bond down there. They've got like everyone down training, and like you said, they seem to harry each other if they're not there. But I know that like us, St Mary's, not sure about Russian, but go through the clubs. Those players that are making the Tuesday and the Thursday every week, if you had all them together, you'd get a challenge, a sustained challenge. It's just never, ever going to happen. It's hard to get when St George's have got, let's not forget, they've got the best players as well. There's scattered players around there that are, there's some really good players over here, but you look at their starting 11, where are you plucking players to get players into that team? For me, there's only Ash gets in it.
Yeah.
Because he, for me, he's the best player I've played with. He gets in it. From there, where else? Who else gets in their team at the moment?
Well, speaking of Ash, it's worth noting that a rumour has it he's actually going to be leaving the island.
Yeah, he's going to Australia. I heard that from Gailey yesterday,
Yeah.
So the Peel's woes continue. Yeah. As it really hasn't been their season. Yeah. All right, Dave's big question.
Yes, it's everyone's favourite question. We have to end the questions on a serious note. What's your favourite Chinese, boys?
Chinese takeaway, where would you go after a game, maybe on Friday, Saturday?
Majestic's good.
Majestic.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to blow the podcast out of the water here. Oh, God. I don't do Chinese. Oh, I don't like Chinese. Oh, I genuinely don't like Chinese. The best Chinese I've had, right, has got to be, is it the new Hong Kong in town?
Yeah.
When I was... In the ages of going through town with all lads when I was like 15, 16, onion gravy and chips.
Onion gravy, it's a winner.
Gotta have it.
Not allowed them anymore.
So that's you. Hattie said the same thing, didn't he? But I tend to believe with Josh more than I do Hattie.
Put it nicely.
Did you just put me and Hattie in it? I'd change.
You're getting older, Josh. Have a video camera before you know it. Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's action, here's a word from our sponsor.
I'm going to keep this short. It's 2017, make a smart decision. After picking up over 100,000 members, Cornerstone are now so confident that once men try their razor and shaving products, they won't go back to their old razor. So you can now get an award-winning razor from just £4 with £10 off. Just visit cornerstone.co.uk/Manx to get started.
Right, boys, it's FA Cup weekend. Friends, probably the National FA Cup, I should say. First round. They call it the first round, but really it's the last 16, if you do your maths.
Yeah.
Couple of big games. We'll start off at Blackberry Lane. Although, it's now, you've told me, at the bowl.
It's at the bowl.
Old Boys St Mary's. Always the last to know, aren't we, though?
That's it. Can we're exclusive to this point.
Exclusive.
Can we flip a question on you?
Right.
Who does that suit better? Does that suit us or St Mary's better?
I would say, but the way you play it, wouldn't. I don't think that gives them particularly an advantage. You like to hit on the break.
Yeah.
And if perhaps the expanse of pitch will get them to attack you in a way.
Because always, like, when you switch games, it's always like, you give up home advantage or you do this.
Well, you're going to, Paul Taxi's going to miss out on some taxi sales, isn't he? But aside from that.
No, I think it just means the game's going to be a proper game of football.
Yeah.
Like, we can go up Blackberry Lane, but we were saying at the start of the podcast, the our combi played on the team, played on the pitch last week there. The pitch was, it probably wasn't even playable to begin with, and I wouldn't even like to see what it looks like now. So I think that game now is going to be a proper football game. They've got some brilliant players as well. Look at, like, on the ball, Brian. If Marky's playing, Marky's great on the ball. Sammy's back, good player as well. But if we played at Ramsey last week, difficult to get Gary on the ball.
Mm.
It's where he wants. He wants to be on the ball all the time. They didn't play last week, but it suits us to get on the ball and get him out wide and get him on the ball. Adam, if Adam plays. I just think it also suits us, so it's not like we've given up any advantage. I think
I would agree with that.
I think it just opens the game up. For me, the best team will win that game on Saturday. Whoever wants to win it most, you still factor in whoever does the most running and whoever works hard and what. It allows the quality element in. If you've got good quality, then you got a better chance of winning that game.
So.
I think it's going to be tight, yeah. We've got a few players missing. We've got a few players back, so possibly a bit of a different lineup than last week. But yeah, I think it's going to be a good football game. Should be lots of goals as well.
Well, I was down at the league meeting down at the bowl between you and St Mary's a while ago. I think it was 4-2, was it, in the entrance to them?
I was away, but.
And yet, it certainly suits you to play on that sort of surface. You get the ball down and play it. But you guys were really unlucky that day. I mean, there was an offside goal.
There's an offside goal. There was a penalty not given in the last minute.
Yeah.
John McCallum. So he wasn't on our side.
But, I think, you may have lost that game, but especially that second half performance, you were all over them.
Yeah.
And I think you can take a lot of heart for that into this weekend, to know that you can go there and play them at their own game.
Yeah, and I think that second half performance in particular just came down to effort and determination, because you'll have seen our team on that day.
Yeah.
We had guys playing centre midfield who've never played centre midfield before.
You can't say Nick Bass if you want to say Nick Bass. Sorry, Bass.
Well, we had quite a mixed lineup, and we will do again tomorrow. We have done all year, so when we do play well, it is just down to that determination and teamwork. So
is this your sort of way of telling me I might need to pack a flask because it's going to go extra time? Do you think?
I hope not.
Last minute own goal from Thomas, because obviously.
that pitch is big enough. I don't think anybody wants that to go extra time. I don't think it will either. I think it'll be quite an open game, but I can't see it going to extra time.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. I'll be there tweeting away, so don't forget to follow at Manx Footy Blog for all the latest from that match. Big game at Croydon Lowy as well, all Premier League affair, Russian Corinthians. We've talked up both teams, well, talked up Corinthians. Although it's a bit, Croydon Lowy's a difficult place to go to with the Wailing Wall and the.
you got there before. Just shouting.
Yeah. It's a tough game for Corinthians. I think it'll be a good test of how far they have come this season.
If they can win that,
then I think it really puts them in a good stead for the rest of the cup and moving on to next year.
And they've got to find a bit of Ian Dowie's famed bounce back ability, haven't they? Because it took a bit of a hammering last week, and that's something they haven't had to encounter much this season. No.
Yeah, they were missing Conor Gorman last week, but other than that, they had quite a strong side out against Geordies. But yeah, I think they really struggled, but a lot of teams would have done against Geordies. They said that Johnny Myers said that they were going all out to beat them, to wipe the floor with them and prove a point. So they were just in the firing line. I think it was a bit of a freak result for Corinthians.
I think, again, Russian have got a great setup down there as well. They've got Burnsy, Jonesy and Jonesy Senior down there. I think
they've got a good squad.
Did you come up with us, watch that game at Geordies Russian 2 weeks ago?
3-2, wasn't it?
3-2, solid game. Russian could have quite easily have taken something from that game. They've obviously had, they've been inconsistent just along with the rest of us this season, but if they get it right, they going forward, Mike Williams,
Josh
been doing very, very well. Steve Ridens as well, another one who we've played against them obviously earlier on in the season. He played centre midfield with Liam, and every game since I think I've seen him play centre midfield, so he's another one that's obviously
slipping inside.
Very good. I thought he was really good against Geordie as well. Got spot on the ball a little bit. If they can stop him and Mikey playing, Jack's, I think, having a look in your paper, Jack's been in the team of the week however many times this year as well. Scored a hat-trick the other week.
It's football like a howitzer.
So they've got some players that can hurt you going forward as well. But
I think the battle here might be that Quinton's using Sean's height very effectively, and how he gets on against Al Maitland and whoever plays the centre, it'd be probably Aaron Hawley, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And how they cope with him, if they can keep him quiet and stop Corinthians playing the way they want to play, bringing in Dan and Josh, whoever on the wings.
Steve Whitley
as well. I think Russian could win this. But it just would be a shame if Corinthians, perhaps I'm being a bit, wouldn't get something out of this season, because they were, I think they'll rue not getting in the Railway Cup final, losing to St Mary's. I watched that game. And they weren't at the races.
No.
And they'll want to try.
Sean scored a brilliant goal with Danny. The one where they drop over the shoulder and fired in the far corner.
But it was. They want to take something from this season. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just going to be a season of being.
They'll want to get themselves into a couple of finals and give themselves. Like we spoke about earlier, everyone's focus is cups now. Yeah. And that's not to say league form falls away, because we always say if you want to get a good run in the cups, the two games in between, if you get into the next round of the cup, they're also vital just to carry a run in.
So if they can
keep their league form up, get through this week against them, they've got a good chance of making a final. And again, like you said, it's all confidence. They do that and then play for a Hospital Cup.
Yeah.
Get a good run going in the Hospital Cup. Just to say as well, Whitley's another one floating in the abyss. Had a brilliant season. Nowhere near the Ireland squad. That's another one of the players that I think he was actually in the full squad when he was 18, 19. Now he's 22-ish. And I don't think he's down there training. I'm not too sure, but he's not down there training. Another very good player who's just like doing really well, but he's not really got anything to aim at the moment. So.
Well, the cup, Tony Metton's famous broom handle hasn't really given us many cup scalpings this week, has it? With potential for Foxtel Colby's probably as good as we're going to get, isn't it?
I think so, but you still have to fancy Colby with this one, wouldn't you?
I don't know. We were talking about pitches. Billy Moat is probably one of the most infamous in Manx football, isn't it? You know.
Yes.
I think the weather's forecast is dry for between now and tomorrow afternoon, so you. Potential for that game to be on, but you know it's going to be like a ploughing match after 45 minutes, isn't it? And if Colby aren't at it, and Mr. Constain turns up with his shooting boots, Mr. Chatwood, I think Foxdale could maybe pull a scalp here.
Yeah.
Colby, of course, have got one eye in the league. You know, they're still not quite safe. They've got these two big games against Union Mills coming up.
Yeah, but they lost heavily to Russian last week, didn't they? But they were always expected to, I guess.
I think they've agreed in Eric's report, and I think they gave it a bit of a go in second half, didn't they? He's raving about Matty Cregeen, the keeper as well.
Good keeper, and Jordan Primrose-Smith is in good form for them. So, you know, if they're to get through against Foxdale, they probably will get through against Foxdale. He will probably bag a few goals, I think. So
do you remember him? He played against us last year. We played them at the very end of last season. It must have been on a Wednesday up at Old Boys.
Lovely rearrange.
We won but pitch was dry.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. I think it was like 6-1 we beat them, and he scored that one.
Mm.
And then from then I thought he's a solid player, to be fair. Quite a quick lad up front.
Yeah,
he's a good player.
He's won I think under 21 player of the month.
Young player of the month,
He's been a couple of times, so you know he's obviously one to watch. So, but as I say, that's why I'm pinning all my cup set hopes on is potentially a Foxdale win there.
What about Ramsey Peel?
Well, this is it. Well, boys.
No, I'm heading up Ramsey. We drew them at the weekend. No, but if they play like they played against us, and it's down there as well, if they played like they played against us. At the weekend, they had a bit of grit, load of young lads, some good players in there, like we spoke about. And Pia, like you said, they've been as inconsistent as the rest of us this season as well. That's a solid game. Yeah. I think that's a good game.
I think if Peel can't score, like, we can't either. Then
But Ash Webster returning to his hometown club, you know, could be a bit of a story in that, as they say. Again, Peel. I mean, we talk about teams targeting cups. They need something to sort of try and clear this mire of a season, really, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's been, as you say, it's been very tricky. They've had off the pitch problems, or should we say pitch problems?
Quite literally, yeah.
Yeah, but they've sort of shown signs of getting back to form recently, haven't they? Mm. They've overcome a few.
There's still players. If you name that 11, it's still
some quality players in there. Yeah. It's again though. It's just getting that close last year. They got a cup last year, didn't they?
They won the FA Cup. They won the FA Cup.
Was it last season or the season before where they were like nailed on to win the league and all boys beat them? Like, they've had a couple of setbacks where they've been the big team, where they've been in the top two teams. And again, it's just how you deal with it. Now, they had a great start this season. They won that Charity Shield, didn't they? 2-1. It is only the Charity Shield, but it still should give you a kick going into the season. And it just didn't materialise for them.
I think it's a mentality thing. You know, we were talking about determination to train and want to be the best. But it's when you get into that position. So few clubs have been there in the last, you know, how do you stay there? Geordie's know how to do it. They just know, take it each game as it comes. Yeah. Don't worry about the pressure and all that. But
when there's no reward for it as well, when you come so close and you've trained hard all year, I don't know if you can get the lads to keep doing that and doing it again when people have got other things going on in their lives as well.
And it's, been whipped for them.
For some, and I don't know whether it is the case for Peel, but them winning one trophy, a lot of them lads would just think, thought we weren't going to win anything for a few years with Geordie's knocking about. That's a success in itself.
Yeah.
Good, brilliant work. Kudos to them for even getting a trophy. But that therein lies the difference, though, doesn't it? Because you guys just noted that after their game last weekend, Bassini was already talking about winning the 8th. And as daft as that, for me, might sound, and for everybody else it might sound, but that's therein lies the difference between them and not just Peel, but everyone. The rest of us that are playing football in their shadows at the moment.
So the game you're off to?
Paul Evie Bratton could be a close one, this.
There'll be at least, I think I worked out, at least two Division two teams in the quarterfinals, because there's a couple of all Division two sides, isn't there? Paul Evie Bratton, Paul Evie had a reputation as a cup specialist. I remember being down there one when they took Peel on penalties or extra time a couple of years ago. Big Stewie Morris.
Yeah.
When
I was at St Mary's, going back 5-6 years ago, We drew them a couple of times in the cup, like consecutive years. I think a couple of them went to extra time. Dave Skilton scored a hat trick in one of them. But you even look at the team that they had. They had like Dave Skilton, he's quality. He got a good quality.
Barry English.
Who else they had? They had
Jay Wood.
Greg playing.
Andy Govett in goal.
Very, very good players.
He's a decent keeper before
he decided. So they did actually have some decent
players. They have a good team. They're still, you know, Dave and, well, sorry, Barry's still about, isn't he? They can still score goals. Got for Darren
Flanagan as well.
Oh, yeah, he was at St Mary's.
Yeah.
Good players.
Yeah. Bradon will need to sort of, it should be favourites for this.
They will be favourites. I think Pulley will push them all the way, though, in this. I wouldn't be surprised if this went to extra time.
Bet you're looking forward to that.
I can't wait.
Douglas Athletic versus Governors Athletic, the battle of the athletics. Two of the new clubs. It's called Douglas Athletic, the new club, can't we? No, Regen.
Former police side.
Douglas Athletic have done well this season. They've impressed me on their Premier League. I thought they were really going to struggle without Wolfie and Connor Dowell, who've run away.
Is that like MK Dons versus AFC? Is that what it's like? That's our Manx equivalent.
But Douglas Athletic, no, they have done all right. I don't know how you guys, when you've faced them.
You're trying to say when we got beat by
Of course, I was even at that match, actually. That was when Mr. Hutch, he got sent off. He was telling me.
The worst week of his life. He had a winning on goal. What else did he do?
He gave away the penalty
and then got sent off. Yeah. So he only got 2 game banishment, but I think it should have been more like 10.
We would have took the 10. No, that's probably the only game, to be fair, like Ram said, that's the only game where he's come in and he's had a bit of a nightmare. The other 6 games he was brilliant for us. So
they use a target.
You're right. I was just about to note that. I think the start of the season they were maybe a bit unsure about how they play or how they approach games, but they seem to have found a way that works with the big Martin Cowan up front. And yeah, why not? I mean, it is only amateur football at the end of the day. If you've got a fella who can win all his headers, then play to him, play to his strengths.
And Popeye helps. He just helps with the
rabble
mental, yeah, the mental side of it. Like, he's like, just keep standing on his toes. And that's what he's like. I think Jay Clegg, he said, spoke to him after the end of the game. He's like, I just told Jay Clegg, just stand on your toes all game. And I was like, are you stupid? You keep standing on my toes. And I thought you could genuinely be clumsy, but Popeye probably just having a little private laugh to him.
He's just always there, isn't he? You can always hear
him on the side. Literally, you're on the touchline, you're competing for a ball, and he's there shouting at you. Yeah, no, but that, like Ram said, they've done well. I think they've found their way a little bit now. And they're definitely safe, aren't they?
Yeah. 20-odd points now.
Ryan Gartland's having a good season. He's just got
he's
playing well.
He's floated in and out. He's been playing well. I tell you, Josh Green impressed me when he was playing the former badminton champion.
I played football with him when I was like, I think he's a year younger than me, but he played football with me when I was at St. Mary's and when we played at Pulley when we were kids. And he was always one of like the top three players. He just went away and his badminton was his thing, but he was always a very, very good player. So.
And they look, I wouldn't say rock solid at the back, but fairly decent. Matty Quirk, the goalkeeper, big lad, he's a good goalkeeper.
Will Calhoun, and the
man Monks,
Stu Monks.
Yeah, he's played well. They look fairly decent as a unit. So I think they've been, you can say consistency of 11, they've been very fortunate. It seems to be the same 11, well, there or thereabouts, every time I've seen them. Anyway. I don't know.
They seem like they've got a club where like people just enjoy playing for them. Again, like they're a lot of them, they've gone off and created this club. They get a big say in like, picking the pink kit, picking the Illuminous kit, whatever they want. Like, they go away and it's like, it's their club. It probably very much feels like their club. So even if you're playing in the combi down there, they might have a couple jump in between, but if you're playing down there, you still very much feel like you're part of something. It's like, they've done really well.
And Governors are probably a similar ilk, you know, they're only a few years old. They won their first ever FA Cup tie against Michael, didn't they? Tony Sewell probably wanted the momentum to keep going, but you can't see past Dafker in this one, really.
No, you can't. I mean, Sewell's done a good job there. And as Hattie said in his report last week, I mean, it's been a season of firsts for them. The veteran side did well last week as well, but you just can't see past Dafker with it.
Douglasson District, Youthy, do we think? But Youthy have been very inconsistent. Obviously, they dropped down from the Premier League last season.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to do better this season, if I'm being honest, but I think they lost a few players. Danny Allison, I thought, was going to be good for them. Maybe an outside chance of a silver boot before Andy Glover started to score 9 a week. But Douglasson District, Youthy. Douglasson District, they'll be fancying a shot at the quarterfinals. I think you guys played them, old boys played them a few years ago in the
Rally
Cup.
Yeah, we went to extra time.
I remember that game, Sunday night special.
We just give people a chance and then.
Yeah.
No, I went up and watched that game as well. Up on that.
Up on Nobles Park, I remember.
That's a matchbox. Yeah. That was again. I think scattered around though. Even in the second division, there's some very good players scattered around. It's just again getting a collective together. It's just people not too fussed about how they're getting on the football. There's still some good players down there.
Didn't D&D go on an infamous cup run last year? It's the first time they went to the quarterfinals.
Was it Aussie? I can't remember. They all managed into one at this time of year. But I think I'm going to keep Dave Matheson happy and say Douglasson District.
I think they might edge this one.
I remember that got extra time because I missed the Antiques Roadshow because it went overran that game. Terrible. Actually, that's what gets me back to one of the best heckles I've ever heard. It was Douglas Athletic against someone in Moran in the Hosley Cup one Sunday. And their goalkeeper, one of the Douglas Athletic boys had come off. And he shouted back onto the pitch, "Come on, lads, I'm missing Antiques Roadshow for this." I don't know.
It's footy banter.
Yeah, I think Moran did win that game, so it didn't work. I'm talking Moran. They've got the
what envious task
of facing St George's this week. It'll just be a case of trying to keep it down, the score down.
Single figures.
Yeah. Moran again, though, another boggy pitch, so perhaps that'll work in their favour. And of course, they've got a few ex-Geordies players in their ranks, haven't they? Stewie Morris and Ash Higginbotham.
Yeah, a good little side they've got there. Dave Bruce got his team together, and they're sort of
very young, though, aren't they?
Yeah, again, it's something you've alluded to, Josh. It's a team that they need to keep together for a few years, and they could come back up into the Premier League and see how they do. But
there's no onus on them to even do anything in that fixture, so it's just a case of going out.
They've got nothing to lose.
No. Yeah, they've got just a case of, if it is a young team, just going out and trying to enjoy as much of it as possible.
There are four cheeky league games thrown into the mix, aren't there, Dave? Starting the Premier League, Union Mills, second bottom. probably no chance of them getting anything out of St John's away, though, you would think.
Well, Union Mills refused to do a Friday night fixture then, did they?
Yeah, they must have, yeah.
They've heard Josh's... don't be playing in St John's hands. I bet next season there's no one wants a game with them on a Friday. Yeah. But no, I'd have to say home winner, boys. You've obviously played both. You favour St John's in this one, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Like you said, we have had 6 weeks off over Christmas, so managed to get down there a couple of games, most of them being St Mary's versus, because you can get down the ball and stand under the shelter. But watch St John's against them. How did that turn out again?
I think that Mary's won, but it was a close game. In the cup, wasn't it? I think.
But again, we've already alluded to it, but Reece Oates, standout player, but he's brilliant.
So. He's had a cracking season.
I think if they can get him on the ball down there, then he's always going to cause. Going to cause problems. But Union Mills have got some good young players. I know there's another centre half there who's massive. I don't know his name though. Young centre half.
Allen, maybe.
I'm actually not too sure of his name, but he's a good player as well. So they've got some good players. Darren Smethurst, is he there?
He done
well. Actually, he played against us when we played up at Old Boys. And he was by miles the best player on the pitch. Left back. Yeah. He was really, really good. Yeah. He was picking the ball up and like rolling his foot over the ball past like the winger. And it's like, you're in your own half. what are you doing? And he's like, he's got penalty duty, free kick duty. He just hits it. They've got some all right players, but I can't see past St. John's winning that game.
Division 2, Dave, there's a big game at the top, isn't there?
On paper, it's a big game. The top two, Dougie Roar v Castletown. But Castletown have played a few more games than everyone else, so it's a little bit of a lopsided table. Royal, you have to fancy to win this.
Royal got a bit between the teeth at the moment. You know, you guys obviously played them in the cup. I think we sort of said it could be Manon skin, but mostly because you guys hadn't played for 6 weeks. But they're gunning for it now. I think Aaron's got them pretty well organised, and they've got a good squad. If you look at a lot of them have played Premier League football.
Yeah, go on, I'll let.
Yeah, when we played, it was quite clear they had a style of play, and they had tactics they were trying to achieve something. Mm-hmm. So you see, they're very organised, and like you say, they've got some. They've got a couple of ex-Old Boys lads to like kind of give them a bit extra.
John Quirk,
I think King and Ellie took his legs off at the game. But yeah, no, they're a good outfit. They should win that league, definitely.
Yeah, I think Castan have sort of lost their way a little bit, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a very young side, though, you have to say.
They'll come back stronger. Another team, as we...
They only got two players that are over like 25.
Yeah, so something like that.
Probably
Alex Crowley, and then...
Ashley.
Jake's not playing much.
Jake's not playing, though.
No. So as you say, if they can keep them together, they'll be right for the future. And obviously, they've had all the stadium work done this year.
I think with the likes of the teams that are in the second division who have got younger teams, likes of Moran, they are better staying down for a couple of years. And even though they might not want it, for them, it's better staying down, growing, playing in that league, getting used to competing for things, and then going up in that league. You go up. I think Douglas Royal might do all right if they come up next year, only because they've got a load of older heads.
Yeah.
If they can get through a couple of seasons, stay in that league and get some younger players in, they might be able to stay in the league. But it's so often that teams come up and go straight back down. And it's always like the same three or four coming up and staying up maybe for a couple of years, or then going straight back down and then up and down. It's always the same four. And there's only one way to change that, really, and it's to for Royals, it's sign some young players, get them playing in your team. Like early on when you get into that first division, and have them older heads there to try and
bring them along,
to help them along. Yeah.
I remember Mark Lilliman and a few of the boys that took us off, like saying that a couple of years ago, they were kind of glad that they missed out on promotion.
You said it in the podcast, didn't they?
Yeah, really? And they just wanted to consolidate it, build the team together, and they romped to the league last year. And look at them now, this is they're safe for another year. I think they can consolidate that next year.
It's exactly what we did, actually.
Yeah, I remember.
When we were kids, we were getting battered every week in the first division, went down, smashed that, and then came back up.
It's a way to do it, and build it, and they will come, as someone once famously said. Michael Malou, battle at the bottom of Division 2. Michael,
could they get their first win?
Have they still got? They got 1 point, and they took a point off Onken, which now actually is a decent point when you look where Onken are. But Malou, though, Aaron Quinn said
raved about them,
and they have improved since he was talking about them. So
yeah, I think this is a good chance for Michael to possibly get their first win, but. On paper, you would still fancy Malou.
Yeah. Boys, you probably haven't seen much Division 2 football. These two are at the foot of the table. Michael, we're a Premier League side, so not too.
Are they at the foot of the second division? Yeah. Michael, as well. Yeah. See, even going back 4 or 5 years ago when they were in the they stayed in the league for quite a while, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think that was right. Anyway,
was playing for them, Johnny Holland, Kev Pullman. Yeah. Mm. They had a really decent team. Richard Crowe, Michael Perks, big Gary Burgess and goal. Yeah. They had a really good team.
Yeah, I think that happens, doesn't it? It's like you fall down and you can quite easily just fall away as opposed to, like I said, people just hovering between the two leagues. It's quite easy to just go down and fall away and people to just move and go, oh, no, I should be playing in the first division or I should be playing in one of the better teams in this league. So
don't miss going down there, though.
Always windy. And Blair, I suppose the thing as well, Michael, it's quite a small place. You haven't really got, if you're going to attract players, probably people that live near in the area, and there's not that many to choose to, Michael. Unless you get yourself into the Peel Combi and try and poach a few from there. But it's always going to be tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Last game of the day in JCK Division 2, Onken Gyms. Now, Onken really keep get a few more wins now. They want to keep this Gold Cup.
Yeah,
this
will put them back into the top four and really will keep them in the promotion chase.
Are you still saying they're on for a two?
Royal are going to win the league. Yeah. But it looks like it anyway.
Braddon, they've got quite a few games in hand.
Braddon have got two games in hand on Royal, but they're 9 points behind, so there's still a bit of a cushion for Royal. I just think it is really a battle now for second place. Top four would be fantastic for Onken, but if they can go even further, then why not?
Onken seems to be another good story, feel good story of the season, really. Yeah. They've surprise package, really, I should say, but they've pulled it together and have been there for most of the season.
We had Tristan in, didn't we?
Yeah.
We mentioned about Corinthians and that. It's all about the camaraderie in the group, in the team. So
I think they will be a bit good. They didn't give Ramsey more of a game the other week in the first, the prelim of the cup. I think that was a potential another cup set. Keep on. I love them. But, Onken could have perhaps, will be a bit disappointed they didn't push them harder, but there you go. And then Gyms have just been underperforming.
Have they been underperforming? Have they?
I would say so. They've still a squad. It's pretty much the squad that went down.
Yeah.
They've maybe lost a couple. They've had Jordan Cooper, good
player,
striker.
Yeah.
I do wonder again if this is consistency of 11 thing we get, because they've got quite an older squad now, and they've got commitments and families and what comes with that. And it's getting that first 11 out. Mark Connor's a fireman, isn't he? He's probably not available every week. Same with Gareth Gunn. It's one of those things, isn't it? But as we talked about, Michael, Gyms were in the Premier League only a couple of seasons, haven't they?
They were bizarre to me. I could never understand why they were never better. When I was growing up, a lot of these lads that were playing for Gyms, they were the best in the schools.
Yeah.
They were winning all the school stuff. And then you looked at them and they were always there or thereabouts at the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
It's that mentality, the work ethic.
They were not bad when Pekka was there, and then
he
left. And
yeah, he definitely helped.
Right, that's it for this week. Thanks for coming in, chaps. All that's left to do is congratulate St George's Chris Bass Senior, Celtic starlet Kieran Tierney, fixtures guru Tony Meppen, and Moran keeper Sean Jackson, who have been nominated for next month's Isle of Man Sports Awards. Good array of Manx football. Names and name, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
All well deserved, I think we all agree.
Are any of them in the same category?
No, Chris is in Coach of the Year. Kieran has been nominated for Under 21 Sportsman. Tony Meppen is in the Administrator of the Year category, and Sean is in the Disability category as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, we could have potentially four winners out of there. It would be nice to see.
Hopefully, yeah.
Sean's doing well. He's back over in Man City last week. Playing for the amputee football team, so he's doing really well. He's impressing the GB coaches.
And I think he's still training with St George as well.
Yeah,
with Paul, so
he was down there at Balfletcher last week for the game. He's telling me he was kind of hoping to get in the squad to join him with the celebrations. But no joy this week.
Right, thanks again, guys. Remember, you can tweet us day or night at Manx Footy Blog, where you can find all the podcasts, including this one. When I get around to putting it up, at audioboom.com/channel/Manx Football or on iTunes. Until next week. Hopefully we're back next week, are we, Dave?
Yeah, no technical issues, hopefully.
Hopefully. Right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you.